Joe, I got a note for you. J.P. Morosi, we were talking about it a little bit earlier. He says a Stephen Kwan trade today is viewed as increasingly likely.
To who?
He didn't say. But that the potential trade of Kwan, who has 2 years remaining under this year, increasingly likely. So we'll see what happens.
I'll tell you this much. I'm going to be profoundly disappointed if by 7 o'clock tonight, 6:30, because some of these things, you know, we don't get word of them till after the actual deadline. If the Pirates are sitting here with basically the same group of so-called hitters, there would be no excuse for it. Is the Noah Constrictor on the line?
He's ready to go.
Noah Hiles of the Post-Gazette. You can follow him right now for trade updates, trade stories, trade information, all of that. Noah Constrictor, how are you? Busy, I guess, huh?
Busy, tired, but we're locked in, Joe. This is the big day of the year.
All right.
For baseball.
Bednar, Keller, does one or both get traded?
I think one of them does. I think Bednar still gets moved. I think it's going to come down to the wire. There's a bidding war going on for him. You're seeing some of the suitors take on other relievers rather than him, but I know teams are still interested. He's just going to come at a high price. And as these hours tick away, we're going to see teams, I think, get a little bit more desperate and be willing to pay that high price.
So you don't get the feeling that teams are scared off, even though he's been red hot for a while. He was sent to the minors early this year and had last year's, you know, severely up and down season. You don't get the sense that people are scared off by any of that?
I don't think so. No, I mean, when you look at the overall body of work, this is three really, really good seasons in the last 4 years. There was even some good stretches last year. I think you can easily explain what went wrong if you talk to anyone in the organization or anyone who's been around them. Just it started poorly. They probably should have put him on the IL to start the season. Instead, he rushed back. They put him in high leverage spots. He got in a funk and couldn't recover from it. But right now, I mean, he's throwing the ball better than he ever has in his career. This is a guy who is built to pitch in leverage situations, and teams want that at this time of the year.
What does he bring back? A triple-A hitter? An established hitter? What?
I think it depends on the organization that acquires him. I think you're probably better off trading him for prospects. I know that's not what fans want to hear, but when you look at the reliever returns, a lot of them have been like the relievers in Bednar's category or caliber. They're getting elite prospects. I don't know if you're going to get an elite position player or an impact bat for a relief pitcher. I mean, I don't think teams, how many buyers, have traded away an impact bat over the last couple of days. It just looks like that's not happening on this year's market. It looks like prospects, on the other hand, are up for grabs. There have been a handful of top 100 prospects moved, and almost all of them have been in deals revolving around relievers. So I think at the very least, you can expect a top 100 prospect for this guy. And if not, if the prospect capital is lower, then maybe you get a big league hitter with some lower rated prospects. It just depends on the organization, because some of the teams interested have better farm systems than the others.
You said the other day, I believe, on one of our shows, that Bob Nutting has stepped in the past to keep Bednar here. Is there any danger of that happening again?
I don't get that sense this time around. When that happened, I mean, that was prior to 2024. So Bednar was at, you know, he's back-to-back all-star. I think there might have been interest in extending him at that point in time. I don't know that for sure, but I just know that I think Nutting wanted to keep Bednar because there hadn't been the bad year yet. He was a back-to-back all-star. He was among the best at his position. He's the hometown guy. And yeah, they probably could have got a lot more for him back then than they can now, actually, when you look at what he was worth probably back then. He was probably similar value to like what Mason Miller just went for. But now you look at what he's worth with an extra year of control, probably a little less, but still a lot more value. And the Pirates are in a different position. Back when that trade was denied, you got to think they were extending Mitch Keller. They were getting O'Neill Cruz back for a full season. They just had that, you know, strong finish in 2023. There was some optimism around the team, that they had yet to play their best ball. People still believed in Hayes. People still believed in Jack Sawinski. It's no longer the case. They need hitters. They need to improve their farm system. That means you got to part way with assets that you really appreciate.
Talking to the Noah Constrictor here.
Yeah, come on, Noah. It's 11 to nothing. It's 11 to nothing. Bednar, Holderman, both threw yesterday. Santana's been our best reliever. Come on, you've watched enough baseball to know that. It's 11 to nothing. Seriously. You don't have to ask. There's a better question than that.
Okay.
Seriously. I mean, it's 11 to nothing.
I do as I'm told, Noah. I did not approve of that. Yeah. I was told so.
That's all right. Hey, that's my guy. He's your competition now. I think he has a radio show.
I know. So. I saw where Shelty has his own show. Maybe he'll break some news on that one.
I'm offended he hasn't asked me to come on as a guest.
I would be too. Noah Hiles of the Post Gazette. You can see him too, right, right here on 93.7 The Fan, our YouTube channel. Very easy to get to. Don't cost nothing. And you can get to our YouTube channel through our website. You can watch Noah as well. Percent chance that Keller goes by 6 p.m.
10.
Wow.
If less. Yeah. I mean, a couple weeks ago, it's crazy because a couple weeks ago, I had people, really good sources on that subject, telling me it could be as high as 70%. But it just seems like they knew what they want from Mitch. They wanted an established hitter. They want the hitting equivalent of Mitch Keller, which is exactly what you should be asking for. And I know it's frustrating that they're not going to probably get that type of hitter by the end of the day, but you can't just take the best offer. If you have a price set for that type of asset, you have to make sure you get it. You can't just settle. And so the Pirates, I think, have a better chance of getting that in the offseason. You can have a wider market then. You look, I mean, you're not just trying to trade him for teams looking to win a World Series and down the stretch trying to get hot or whatever. He's open for all 29 teams. Everyone's retooling their roster. And if they're parting ways with a quality bat to get Keller, those teams can replace that hole or fill that hole through free agency. That's not an option right now. So I just think his market will probably be better in the offseason, even if he does have a second half regression. As long as he's healthy, I think Keller's value is still going to be really high, and you can get the hitter you need for him in the offseason. I just don't see them getting that offer in the next 4 hours, so they're going to hang on to him.
Wow. That, to me, that's really disappointing, actually. Well, the only thing that will be disappointing is if they don't have a bat by the end of the day. So let me ask you, Noah. Let me ask you this. If you were the Pirates and you were putting together a package to get Stephen Kwan from Cleveland, what would that package look like? Would they, because they've started to falter here. They got a lot going on out in Cleveland. Would it look more like a prospect-laden package then? Or what would a package look like for a guy like that? What would they want?
I mean, this is just pure speculation, but something tells me they're going to need some hitting or some pitching prospects. I mean, when you look at what's going on in that organization, I mean, it's hard to just imagine it's going to be those two. It seems like there's a good chance it could be more. And even if it's not, I think that they're in a place now where if they lose Class A for good, and Ortiz was a guy that's going to be in their rotation, and they're trading away Kwan, I mean, they're tearing it down. So if they're rebuilding, they're looking for prospects. Pirates are going to have to give up some good prospects to get Stephen Kwan. I mean,
okay.
He is, but I think that's worth it. I think
so.
I don't know what you give. I mean, a Barco could make sense, a Harrington. Some lower level pitchers as well could make sense. There are some guys like Antoine Kelly in AA could be an attractive pitching prospect, a guy who I think could work his way onto a top 100 list sometime soon. There are a handful of other guys. But yeah, I think that's an organization that knows how to develop pitching. They're going to need pitching, and they're going to be rebuilding. So I think that the return for Kwan is going to include some good pitching prospects.
Well,
and the Pirates have those.
That gets into what Limits talked about, which is, you know, keep Keller and dip into your prospects to get an established major league bat. Limits, do you want to ask Noah a question based on that?
Yeah, and I think mainly because of that, Noah, we've seen some good things from Burroughs. We've seen some really good things from Ashcraft in the bullpen. Don't you think that the sample sizes, even though they've been small, would allow you to keep Keller and trade those guys? And they might, especially with the years of control, be a hot commodity?
Maybe. I mean, the problem with both of those guys are they've already had Tommy John surgery. I mean, Ashcraft, I don't think, has thrown more than 80 innings in a professional season. So there's the health concern. Even if you're throwing the ball well, I just think once you have that surgery, and that can apply to Barco too. Once you have that surgery, your value goes down until you're an established multi-year big league productive pitcher. That surgery takes your value away. So I think that Burroughs or Ashcraft could be used for a different type of trade, maybe like a similar to like what they did with Quinn Priester last year. And you could get the young hitter equivalent of that. But I don't think either of those guys would headline a package that would land a Stephen Kwan. I think you would have, it would have to be, I don't know, maybe a Bubba Chandler, if not him, like a Barco or something like that.
Limits, did we have the Tigers acquiring Kyle Finnegan from the Nats? Did you already mention that?
We have not, no.
I think that's breaking then from Jeff Passan. So there goes another closer. Kyle Finnegan goes to the AL Central leading Tigers. So still, though, there's a bunch of teams out there, we say closer, who need a high leverage late inning reliever. Right, Noah? There's still a huge market for Bednar.
Yeah, and I mean, just because the Tigers got one guy doesn't mean they're not interested in getting another. I mean, you look, the Mets acquired three relievers yesterday. So, I mean, every team is looking to strengthen its bullpen at this time of the year. Teams that are looking to compete for the World Series. If you watch playoff baseball, if you've watched any of it in the last decade, you see how important bullpens are. Because starters are running on fumes by the time you get to mid-October, and you're going to need to win your inning-by-inning matchups. And having that depth to get through seven-game series and cover all of those innings, that's how you win a World Series. It's how the Dodgers did it last year. Everyone likes to point at that high payroll. And sure, yeah, they have a lot of great hitters, but their bullpen won them that World Series last year. And that's the same way the Guardians got to the ALCS, the same way the Yankees got to the World Series. I mean, all of those bullpens performed well. So there's every team's looking to add bullpen depth, and the Pirates have a lot of bullpen depth to sell right now. Not just Bednar, Santana, Rogers, the guy they just acquired yesterday. I think he could go for a pretty good price. You could sell a couple of other guys too. There's a lot to offer in this Pittsburgh bullpen for contending teams.
Regarding Santana, do you think that he could acquire something similar to Bednar, or probably something lesser just because he doesn't have the proven track record?
I think he's a little of a less, he has less value just because he doesn't have as much of a proven track record. I mean, he's only succeeded one place, and that's here. I mean, he's bounced around at a lot of other different spots and never found anything. And that, I don't think that that's an indication that he would regress if he went elsewhere, but it's just Bednar has the way, like his body of work is just way more credible. And and I also get a sense that like if they could keep one, I thought it was going to be Bednar, but now I'm starting to think if they could keep one, they'd rather keep Santana. I think his price tag's going to be like he's going to make less in ARB next year. And I think they can do a lot more with him. He's not just a ninth inning only guy. And I think the Pirates moving forward might be trending toward that, you know, mentality where they don't want just a strict closer. So I could see Santana getting moved, but I think his price tag isn't as high, and I think the Pirates might want to keep him a little bit more.
All right, Constrictor. Would you be stunned if Brian Reynolds was traded?
I would be, yeah. I mean, they gave up on Ke'Bryan Hayes. That's what that deal was. They evaluated everything, and they said, this is never going to be the player we thought he was going to be when we signed him to this extension. I thought it made sense to give up on Ke'Bryan Hayes. I don't think they're ready to give up on Brian Reynolds yet. I don't think they anticipate him being a great fielder ever again, but I think that they're not giving up on the bat, that it can return to being above league average. I don't think they have a choice. I think they have to hope that happens, at least for another year. I don't think they're ready to give up on him yet.
Their catching situation has become somewhat disastrous. You know, 2 years ago, we were sitting here like, man, they got all kinds of catching. They have Rodriguez and Davis. Then all of a sudden, Bart has a good year. Eventually, they'll have three guys. What are they going to do? Do they have a future catcher right now?
They have a good defensive catcher in Henry Davis. But I mean, I know they're getting calls on Joey Bart right now. I don't think they'd get a lot back for him, but you look at some of the teams interested in Bednar, those teams have really good catching prospects. So maybe that could be a situation where they're looking to find their future behind the plate. Maybe it's not Henry Davis anymore. I'm not entirely sure on that theory, but I think, I mean, look around the diamond. How many positions do you feel secure with moving forward? I think they feel happy with O'Neill Cruz in center field, that they can get at least a little bit more from him. I think they feel like they have a really good shortstop that's going to be here next year. They feel okay with Nick Gonzalez at second. And they know they have Reynolds somewhere, either right fielder or designated hitter whenever McCutcheon's gone. But you're looking at least one outfield spot. You're looking at the corner infield and probably catcher. Those
well,
are all.
Well, look up at your clock. That's what the next 4.5 hours are about to me. Yeah. Or 5.5.
Yeah.
I keep getting confused on the time limits. Let's do something here while you have assets where you have a surplus, which is pitching. These are very important hours here for the future of this franchise, at least, you know, insofar as the Skeens window is concerned. I think this is a critical time right now. Get a hitter, at least one, please. Thank you, Noah.
Thanks, Joe.
Where are you right now?
I'm in Denver. I'm in my hotel.
What's that photo of behind you? It's very striking.
It's, I believe, the hotel, the building that I'm in.
A picture of the hotel in the hotel.
Yeah. It's a pretty building.
Is it
it's
a nice. Marriott? Where are you exactly? Are you downtown?
Yeah, it's a Marriott about a mile away from the ballpark. Went for a little walk this morning.
What a great nice town. Can you see the mountains outside?
I can't. I'm in the middle of downtown. All I see is skyscrapers. But I'm excited to enjoy this trip after the trade stuff stops. Yeah. You know,
may I suggest you wake up early one of the weekend mornings and take a ride up into the Rockies? I would go to Estes Park.
It's gonna be tough though. I mean, they play all the afternoon games.
Call in sick.
They have one. They only have one night game here, but we'll try to make it happen.
Thank you, Noah. We'll be listening. Are you on with the PM guys too today? You gonna do a
I'm
double?
I'm on with
header?
Donnie after.
Donnie, okay.
I'm on with Donnie after. So.
All right,
yeah,
man.
We'll see what happens.
We'll be reading PostGazette.com. Thank you for taking the time on a busy day.
Absolutely, guys. Thanks for having me on.
What an astounding man he is, huh?
Yes, he's very busy today.
Very. He looked busy sitting in his hotel with a picture of the hotel behind him drinking coffee after he goes to lunch.
He's going
to
go
right
back to the phones, right back working to the phones and seeing what he can do.
Here we go, Limits. I truly believe that this is a franchise-shaping afternoon.
It should be.
Or should be.
Well, it will be either way, good or bad.
All right. Man, I'm looking at this Mason Miller deal again. The number 3 prospect in all of baseball, Limits, goes the other way.
Significant. The other thing is, how does San Diego get all these top prospects? They do so well in international free agency where every year A.J. Preller can just trade off assets and it doesn't matter. They find a way to be able to restock. But yeah, huge.
How good is J.P. Sears?
He's fine.
What do you mean he's fine? How good?
Like a number 4 starter.
7-9 with a 5 ERA, for God's sakes. And look at what the A's got back. This DeVries kid, or DeVries, I don't know what he is.
Yeah.
He's the number 3 prospect in baseball. He's a shortstop. Then they get the Padres' number three prospect, who's a right-handed pitcher. They're number 13 and 17 prospects. Oh, my God. What a haul that is. Basically for Mason Miller, right?
Basically for Mason Miller, yes. And another starter for basically, you know, to fill out their rotation.
Is Mason Miller doing everything that he's done in the past? Is he just blowing people away here? What does he have? Yes, he is. 59 strikeouts in 38 innings.
He's been very consistent. Now, his ERA is a little bit higher than previous
years.
Nobody cares about 376, whatever.
That. Yeah.
I mean, last year was 249. His first year was at 378.
I mean, the ERA for a closer doesn't matter. That's not even relevant. He's striking people out and finishing games. And is he still throwing 103 or whatever he throws?
Yeah, and I mean, think about the years of control that they have on him. He's still pre-arb. I mean, he's not arbitration eligible until next year. He has 26, 27, 28,
don't you wish
and
the Pirates had gotten him?
He's not a free agent until 2030. Yeah, they would have had to part with Bubba Chandler for him. Would you do that for a closer? I wouldn't, just because the Padres are in a win-now position. The Padres, yes, you do it. You give up whatever prospects it is to be able to get this guy in your system for the next 4 years.
His whip is 1.02. Last year it was 0.88. He's incredible. I don't know if I'd give up Chandler for that, though. I'd like to see Chandler in the Pirates rotation, wouldn't you?
I think probably
sometime soon.
Once Heaney gets traded, which I'm a little surprised we
like
haven't
today,
heard like
tomorrow?
Any rumblings. Heaney is scheduled to start tomorrow's game, Joe. Now, what does that mean? Who knows? It might not mean anything at all. But I do think that he probably eventually does get traded. And we have another little note here
what
that
do you
we
got?
Can make note of.
What
do
you-
As yes. Ken Rosenthal is saying that the Dodgers, Phillies, and others, mostly just the, actually, here's the correct story. The Yankees have discussed a David Bednar trade with the Pirates.
For who?
Now, that's the thing.
Spencer Jones.
Spencer Jones is not on the table.
Why?
The Yankees are only trading Spencer Jones in a package that would include Paul Skeens, and that obviously is not going to happen.
According to who?
According to John Heyman.
A package that includes Paul Skeens?
Well, he would
that's
be,
ridiculous.
He would be included in a Paul Skeens package.
Yeah, well, then it's
that's
not happening.
What it
but
would be. No,
but
it's not
that doesn't
happen.
Mean it won't happen.
So,
just because he says so.
Ken Rosenthal reporting that the Yankees and Pirates are discussing David Bednar. Now, if those talks will continue, that is another story, as The Athletic wants me to create an account to fully read the story. Thank you, The Athletic.
You don't have an. I do have an Athletic account limits. I'm going to get you one for your birthday.
Thank you. Or maybe I could share your account. But
no,
we just can't tell
that's
anybody
that's illegal,
that.
And I'm not telling anybody that. And how dare you suggest that on live radio?
Thank you.
Pitt and Penn State to face off in men's basketball for the first time since 2017.
That will
be
fun.
In Hershey on December 21st. Will it, though? Is that a big deal when they play in basketball? I know it's a big deal in football.
They're playing in every sport but basketball. They're playing in volleyball again this year. They're playing in basketball now, but they still won't play in football.
What do you think of Peyton Wilson calling himself one of the best cover linebackers in the world? Did you see that?
I would like to see Peyton Wilson have more opportunities to be able to prove it. Because last year he didn't, because he was behind Queen and a lot of Landon Roberts. And now they add Cole Holcomb into the fold. I don't know where he's going to fit in.
I can't believe that Cole Holcomb is playing football
yeah.
with that devastating injury. Did you see Dulac's chat this week, Lemon?
No.
You should have. You're the beat writer. He says, Lou says, hey, Jerry, how is Roman Wilson looking at camp? Think he'll hold up as wide receiver two? And I alluded to this answer before. Dulac says he won't be wide receiver two unless something dramatic and completely unexpected happens. And then he says, I'll say this, even without pads, he's not done anything to stand out after 1 week of camp. I like the guy, but at some point, even in shorts, you have to stand out. How about that?
Well, I agree, even in shorts, especially when there's such a large amount of eyeballs that are on him as well. You would imagine that he needs to be able to impress some people and prove something. Whether it's route running, I don't care what it is. Like, Roman Wilson needs to have a big season.
Somebody named Guest chimes in. If Broderick Jones was a sixth-round draft pick, would he still have a job? Is he just not living up to expectations of a first-rounder, or is he really as bad as he seems? The three penalties in five-snap game was hard to watch. Dulac says he's not as bad as you seem to think he is. Well, I hope not, Jerry. I truly hope not. But even if he's average, even if he's above average, it's not worth that pick. They picked him to be an absolute stud. They moved up three spots to get him at number 14. They needed a corner at the time, which is why they drafted Joey Porter 32nd. And they passed up Christian Gonzalez, who's a second team All-Pro in New England. That is not looking like a good move right now. And it's early. But not as early as it was. Let's just put it that way. Next, do you think Caleb Johnson, says Jim, will surpass Jaylen Warren early in the season? Jerry says at some point he will. How about that? Limits, thoughts, opinions, feelings?
I was reading something else.
Oh, my God.
Feinstein,
what happened? What?
Confirming.
Who
the
is?
New, Mark Feinstein, MLB.com.
Yeah.
Confirming what Ken Rosenthal has said about the Yankees and the Pirates, speaking about David Bednar. Pirates are also talking to a bunch of other teams on Bednar. New York is trying to add to the back end of the bullpen with Bednar as the top option.
All right. Who are they giving up? Some low class A guy?
So
place for the Binghamton Beehives.
The Binghamton Beehives. In the Yankee system, they have George Lombard Jr. as their top prospect, shortstop, second baseman. I'd imagine they would not trade him. Carlos LaGrange, a right-handed pitcher that's ready to debut next year. He's currently in AA.
Don't want him.
Spencer Jones is apparently not
want
on the
him.
Market.
Want him.
Seems like they're not going to give him up regardless.
Well, then they can't have Bednar. That's how these things work.
Out of their top seven prospects, six of them are pitchers. Spencer Jones is the only one that is not. Cam Schlittler, careful with that one. He's their number three prospect. He was called up to the Yankees and has so far made three starts. He had a 2.82 ERA in the minor leagues so far, 99 strikeouts in 76 and two-thirds innings. But are you really acquiring a young pitcher when you have so many of them? Who would you be able to acquire as a bat? Rafael Flores, a catcher that also plays first base, is a name that was somewhat floated out there. 16 home runs, 60 RBI so far this year. He had 21 home runs last year for the Yankees
in
122 games.
I'll take him. I'll take anybody at this point that has a bat in their hands and can swing it moderately effectively.
Rafael Flores, he is older than me.
Good. Maybe him and Nick York can be their next big two outfielders.
I hope so.
Seth Daddy says to the national pundits, the Steelers are weak at receiver, but they never know anything. Do you agree that with Metcalf, Jonnu, Pat, and Austin, not you, Calvin Austin, that they are above average and maybe top three or four in the league? What the hell is Seth Daddy smoking? Limits.
I would love a piece of it.
Jerry says definitely above average, but not as high as you suggest. And then we come to Ryan from the Sticks, he calls himself. Is Ben a top 10 quarterback of all time? Some people were saying Favre should be ranked higher than him, but there's no way. I'd put Ben around 6 or 7 at worst. Dulac says he's a top 10, but not everybody thinks so. I'm sure just about everybody would rank Favre above him. Did you hear about this from yesterday, Limits?
I must have missed a lot when I was away, Joe.
You did. There were arguments every day, and I had intern Dom going absolutely crazy in there. He's nuts. Are you aware of that?
Oh, I'm plenty aware.
To make a long story longer, I made the case for Ben over Favre yesterday. The PM guys, with a little bit of help from Donnie, although I think I've swayed Donnie's opinion, they seem to think it's absolutely ridiculous and insulting to even suggest that Ben was better than Favre. Did you ever see Favre play live? No, you weren't born yet.
At the very end of his career with Minnesota.
Would you like to hear all the things that Ben was better than Favre in, numbers-wise, even though he had 2,000 less attempts?
Please.
Thank you. Interception percentage, career yards per attempt, passer rating, completion percentage, win percentage, fourth quarter comebacks, game-winning drives, 500-yard games, 400-yard games, 6-touchdown games, 5-touchdown games, passing yards per game, passes completed per game, rushing touchdowns, Super Bowl appearances, Super Bowl wins, playoff win percentage, playoff completion percentage, and playoff passer rating. That's all.
I'd say that's better.
So would I. Did I sway you then?
I didn't even need to be swayed. I agree with you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
What do you have planned for tonight?
Well, that's a wonderful question, Joe. Because I'm going to mostly watch a lot of trade deadline coverage.
Mm-hmm.
I'll listen to the PM guys while I watch the trade deadline coverage. I'm going to go get some swings in so that I'm not rusty for my playoff game this weekend. And I will unpack my suitcase from last night when I arrived late last night.
You're like me. My wife gets home from a trip and she immediately walks in and starts unpacking suitcases and doing laundry.
I didn't do that last night. I
at least
put
have
it down
a one-day delay.
It.
Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years.
Joe, we can go a couple more minutes now because with the time constraints, they're not put on us as heavily today as in previous days.
Thank you, Limits.
You're welcome.
50-minute mark on the fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. And What's Cooking brought to you by your local Geico rep, Tim Hester.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Hester.
Very kindly. It's sunny today and a high of Heath Miller, 83, 65% chance of rain. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Limits, when I got back from my first vacation a couple weeks ago, I apologized to you and your entire family for saying that I guarantee Don Kelly would be back because this was after the sweep at the hands of the White Sox. And I thought, oh, my God, this is getting worse and worse. Well, now they're only a game under 500 under Kelly. John Parotto believes he'll be back, and so do I. I withdraw my apology to you and yours. Do you think Kelly will be back?
No. No, I don't. Because I think that the general manager still at this point, especially if he doesn't trade Keller, is unlikely to be back. And I think that the sentiment around the club probably is that, look, they need a change. They need to change something significantly. And I think that he will not ultimately be here next year.
I think the owner, Kelly, if he fires the GM, will tell the new GM, you're inheriting this manager. This guy did a phenomenal job for us last year. He got us we were above 500. They still might be, by the way, the rest of this year. After the previous guy got off to a 12-26 start.
I still think that if there is a new GM, then he is potentially probably going to want his guy. And Kelly should at least get an interview and should get significant consideration. But I'm just not willing to fully say, yes, Kelly will ultimately be back for a lot of those reasons.
Thank you, Limits, and good night.
All right, Joe. Good night to you as well.